We are in Mark 16 as we continue to complete this series that was begun by Dr. Hobbs many years ago, and we're going to be in Mark 16, 7 through 9. Mark 16, 7 through 9. Now, in our lesson for this Sunday morning, we are witness to another very long ago Sunday morning of faithful and godly women who have come to a tomb carrying spices prepared to anoint the body of their Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. But they will find that the spices are not needed, for no body rests there to receive these spices. For when they come, they find an empty tomb. But it is not completely empty, for within the tomb there are angels sent by God to tell the women that the body of Jesus Christ is no longer there, but has risen. Now, imagine yourself there, who have suffered so much in the past few days, as they pondered the loss, the crucifixion, the terrible punishment of the one that they loved, the Lord Jesus Christ. Those days, I'm sure, were spent in sleepless nights thinking about all the things that took place. And they hear this astounding news from these angels. But before that good news can be absorbed, the angels bring the women face to face with their unbelief. You know, God can bring you face to face with your unbelief, and you can ignore that confrontation, or you can listen to God and believe. But they ask the penetrating question, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" Wow, what a penetrating question that was to these ladies. The answer was they were seeking the dead among the dead because of unbelief. So the angels bring to their mind one of the many times that Christ Himself plainly told them of His death, but always included in that instruction was His victory over death by resurrection. Yes, Jesus was careful to tell the disciples that He must suffer, but always within that was the glorious news that He would rise again. For the angels say, as reported in Luke 24, 6, "Remember how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." What tremendous news that was. But at the time then, the women remembered that Jesus had told them these very words. Now, if they would have absorbed and believed His words in Galilee, they would have come to the tomb without the carrying of spices, knowing that it would be empty for what day was it? It was the third day. So as far as the angels were concerned, the women had no business bringing anointing spices to the tomb, for there was no dead body to anoint, and Jesus told them there would not be. Now, it was not the case that Jesus told of His resurrection only once or in secret, for He told it often. But unbelief kept their minds closed to such an amazing thing. You know, sometimes things go over your head. My wife accuses that of me sometimes. "You're not listening." I've heard that a lot from wives. "You're just not listening." And Jesus would have said, Disciples, you're not listening. This is going over your head. Now, they could have said, well, yes, we'll all rise again someday. We believe that we'll go to heaven. We believe that. So they kind of mixed it up, perhaps. But they had heard of his raising of the widow's son at Nain. There was a resurrection there, and the raising from the dead of Jairus' daughter. Hadn't they witnessed the raising of Lazarus, their friend and brother in Christ? What about that experience? And didn't they remember what he said about himself at the raising of Lazarus? For in John 11, 25 and 26, Jesus said unto her, and to her is Martha, oh, he said these wonderful words to us, brothers and sisters in Christ. We read these words and our heart is so warmed. For he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall what? Never die. Are you going to die? No. Well, I might go to your funeral, but you're not there. You didn't die. This whole body, like we were talking about this morning, what is it? A house. Now, when you move out of your house, do your neighbors say, oh, they died? No, they didn't die. They moved to another place. And that's what I expect to do. I'm going to move to another place. And then he said, believest thou this? It's almost like saying, this is hard for you to believe because you have a nature of unbelief. So that's the critical question God asks of you and me and all in the world. Believest thou this? This is the question of the ages. As you preach the gospel, believest thou this? In other words, there's a responsibility on your part to not have it go over your head. Do you believe God's book, the book which is God's word, or do you only believe what comforts you and doesn't cause conflict? There's a lot of folks that are like Thomas Jefferson. Well, let's see, that passage, no comfort. Oh, this is comfortable. I like this one. I don't like that one. Is that what you believe about the book? But we're to examine our belief, and we're also to critically examine our unbelief. For all sin can be forgiven except what? The sin of unbelief. You know, some people say, oh, Jesus can forgive all sins. Not true. He can't forgive the sin of unbelief. You can see how important this is to God, for even at this greatest of events, the subject is addressed. You know, here the women were rejoicing. Wonderful. The Lord is risen. Why did you come to see the living among the dead? The angels bring that up. You know, the angels weren't very positive like we are. Oh, everything has to be so positive. Here the women came to do the task of anointing a dead body. Early in the morning, got up and got dressed and got out. What a wonderful thing to do. But it was a task obviously not needed. It was a task based upon unbelief. For Christ had clearly taught them about this event on many occasions. Now, would we have done any different? Probably not. We're made of the same cloth. You know, our blood that's running through our veins was running through their veins, and before that, all the way to Adam's sin. So we're no different. But refer back to lesson 50 of Dr. Hobbs' study of Mark 8, 31 through 33. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly. Openly. In other words, it wasn't hidden in a closet. He didn't pull aside one of his disciples and whisper in his ear. This was open information. Oh, and Peter took him. Now, Lord, you can't talk like that. That's crazy talk. Oh, how negative you can be. Be positive, and all things will turn out. No, they won't. Just because you're positive doesn't mean they'll turn out. Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Can you imagine rebuking the Lord Jesus Christ? Pointing your finger at him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, which was the proper thing to do. And he saw Satan in Peter. And he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." I must die because I love you, Peter. My blood has to be shed because I love you, Peter. And we hear it also when we read Luke 9:22 saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and raised the third day." And Luke 18:31 through 34, "Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem." Uh-oh, this is the time. This is the last trip up to Jerusalem. "And all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished." Go back and read. "For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles." Who was he delivered to? Pilate, the head of the Gentiles. "And he shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on." You ever been spitted on? I was in New York one time when I was at the officer candidate school. We had a little weekend leave and I went to New York and we were walking around in New York and I was in uniform and this woman came up to me and spit at me. That all happens in New York City. She must not have liked the military. I didn't like it. I did. But you know, I'd never been mocked. I'd never been despitefully entreated. I've never been crucified, but our Lord was spitted upon, and all these things was done to him. "And they shall scourge him and put him to death." That's clear. But then he says this glorious message, "And the third day he shall rise again." And they understood none of these things. That's not positive thinking. We just don't accept that. That's not right. That's crazy talk. "And this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken," right through one ear and out the other. And Matthew 17:22-23, "And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, The Son of Man shall be betrayed." Now here's the betrayer entering into the picture, "into the hands of men. And they shall kill him," no period there, "and the third day he shall be raised again." And they were exceeding sorry. They were sorry for his death. They absorbed the death, apparently, but they could not absorb the rising from the dead. And remember that a few days before, Mary, the sister of Lazarus, had anointed Jesus, in Jesus' words, "for the day of my burying." Now, in saying this, he indicated that she understood that he was soon to die. She understood this. She anointed him for death, and she understood that. So there seemed to be an understanding concerning his death, but a resurrection understanding had not yet come to them, even though Christ plainly told them of his rising from the dead the third day. Plainly, throughout the scriptures, Nor did they understand that resurrection is not an action. Resurrection is not an action. It is a person. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus Christ is the resurrection. How do you get resurrected? By being in the resurrection. By being in the person of Jesus Christ. It's not something that's performed on you. You're in Christ. Will Christ ever die? No. He lives forever. If you're in Christ, you live forever. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You know, what a comfort that is. When we look into a casket and we see the body of a brother or sister in Christ. For those of us that believe that they have never died, simply see their former dwelling place. We go to the funeral home and what do? We look at their old house. That's all we do. We look at their old house and we weep and mourn. But they've simply moved from a dwelling place not fit for eternity. That body that you're living in is not fit for eternity. Why? It's a body of sin. God won't have it. He won't allow it. So therefore, you must leave that body. If you don't want to leave this body, then you'll have to stay in that body and not go to be with Christ. Is that your option? No, they've simply moved from a dwelling place not fit for eternity and have continued on in life to be in the presence of Christ for all eternity. You know, the blessed hope of the Christian is marvelous. Why should we fear death when all it is a moving from a dwelling place to the dwelling place on high? When Jesus told them he was the resurrection, he also told them that those that believe in him shall never die. So it is for this failure to believe that the angels gently rebuked the women. And when this rebuke was received, they remembered his words. Now it makes sense. Oh yes, he said that on many occasions. Peter rebuked him. Remember that? We didn't like that kind of talk. But now it makes sense. There was then an acceptance of what he said to them in Galilee. You know how often we do what these women did. We know what God's word says, but we do not believe it in our actions. We may read God's word. We may joyfully receive it as it warms the heart. How many times do you read the word and it warms your heart? But the word is designed to do more than warming your heart. The word is designed to put your feet in motion, to put your hands in motion, to put your mind in motion, to be a doer of the word. You know, we may rear our children in a way apart from God's word. And then when we and our children suffer because of our disobedience, we see that God's word was true all along, and if we had obeyed it, we and our children would not have suffered. How many families suffer because of unbelief? They don't obey the word of God. We got a better way than the word of God. And then they see the results of those ways. You know, I read about a modern educator saying that it's kind of a shame that all of these new things that we introduce take 20 years to find out if they work. We don't have to do that. We know they work if you follow the Word of God. But you don't follow it because of unbelief. Now it is obvious that none of his followers absorbed the knowledge of his resurrection, but at least these ladies were there at the tomb to honor their Lord. And because of this little faith, they were given the opportunity to hear from angels what they had formerly heard of ear, but now heard from the heart from their Lord. But not everyone had this privilege. The ladies had this privilege because they exercised some faith, and the angels were there to announce to them. They knew they were coming. But not everyone, including the disciples, shared in that glorious moment. So the angels instructed them to go and tell those who were not there. Not the Johnny come lately, because they didn't come. But in Mark 16, 7 and 8, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter. Interesting insertion there. We'll talk about that. And Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee, there shall ye see him as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled. Can't you imagine their bodies trembling? Oh, it was the emotions were so big, so high, so great. And they were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now, Mark includes a special mention by the angels of the disciple Peter. A special mention. You know, if there was a ribbon to pass out, Peter would have got the ribbon. But here's a special mention. And I imagine when this news got to Peter, and he heard this special mention of his name, it told him that the Lord had not denied him, as Peter did the Lord 3 times 3 days earlier. Remember the woman who said to Peter, this man was also with him. She pointed at Peter when they were waiting on Christ at the trial. And he denied him, her, saying, woman, I know him not. Oh, he denied him. He denied Christ. I know him not. That was the first reaction of Peter. Self-protection. He's sitting amongst the enemy. This man was with him. Oh, I wasn't with him. And another said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And the third, from whom Jesus said would come, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, what? The cock crew. And the Lord turned. The Lord heard the cock, and he turned, and he looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Oh, what a scene. And Peter went out, and he wept bitterly. And don't you suppose this misery and distress continued to be the state of Peter, who was one of his inner disciples, who had denied him thrice? Don't you suppose that this misery and distress continued until he heard the mention by the angel of his name? Jesus knew the despair of Peter, especially because of his cowardly acts. And don't you suppose Jesus took aside the angel and said, mention Peter's name. Mention Peter's name when you talk to the ladies. You know, just in this little detail, we know how wonderful a Savior is Jesus, my Lord. For he knew Peter's distress, and the simple mention of his name assured Peter that he had been forgiven. Now, the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 28, verses 7 through 9, provides greater detail to what comes next in this event, and it adds to it the meeting of the risen Jesus. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And here, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. A kind of a Roman greeting. All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Now, we're to picture, we're given these words so that we can picture the excitement of the women as they heard from angels the resurrection news, running with not only fear, but joy. Fear and joy. You know, there can be both at the same time here. Fear and joy. And then they add to that joy, greater joy, for Jesus appeared to them. Now, what was the reaction? It was falling at his feet and worshiping Christ, the resurrected Christ. What an example for us as we picture and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected Christ, into our hearts and lives, but to fall at his feet and worship. Now, how long this meeting took place, we don't know. We're not given that in the scriptures. Probably a short meeting. Why? Because they had a mission to tell the others. Go quickly and share the news that Christ is risen today. My, how that's the example that's given to us. To go quickly and share the news. Christ the Lord is risen today. You know, that's a message throughout the year, not just Easter. So the women quickly continued their return to their dwelling place to tell the men of what they learned and whom they had seen. Oh, you would think that the men would rejoice. What a wonderful news. But what happened? They were met with doubt again. For we're told the men did not believe them. You know, we're so quick to pick on doubting Thomas, but he was not the only doubter. Oh, there were a lot of doubters. Most people are doubters today as they live in unbelief. Oh, I doubt that. Oh, that can't be true. That doesn't fit with science. We doubt that. You know how typical for them not to believe? For they too had not believed what their Lord had said so many times, nor would they believe the women. And Luke reports their response in Luke 24:11 this way, and their words seemed to them as idle tales. Don't you remember the Lord's tales? And they believed them not. They thought of these women as women who could not face reality. They were going through all of these mental distresses, so therefore they weren't facing reality. Hysterical women who could not face up to the fact that Jesus was dead and gone from their presence. Face up to it. Accept it, perhaps was their word. It was to them just an irrational refusal to accept things as they were. But they too were wrong, for they remembered not his words. You know, the disciples had not honored their Lord by receiving his body. They had not honored him by going to the tomb. It was they who had evidenced a lack of faith, and because of this, it came out in unbelief. They didn't believe the reports. And you think about the absence of the disciples from all of these events is quite remarkable. And it's so noticeable when we contrast it to the actions of who were almost strangers to Christ, Nicodemus and Joseph, and the women. Now, it was not in the preparing of the body as women's work, because the men were important participants in that. So it wasn't that that separated the disciples. Remember, Nicodemus and Joseph carried 100 pounds of spices for the interment of the body, but the disciples didn't come. And no doubt they weren't ignorant of the women as they planned and what they purposed to do. The women had purchased and gotten the spices earlier. Remember, they got those before the Sabbath, but were forced to wait until the day after the Sabbath to go out to the tomb. And perhaps even the women asked the disciples to go out to the burial place of Jesus with them. Perhaps they asked them to remove the stone, which they mentioned that it would be a problem. And they went out in the dark. Perhaps that wouldn't be a very safe thing to do for women in those days. And the disciples then were visibly absent. And what did they forfeit? They forfeited the great announcement that the angels made at the first meeting after their Lord had risen. You know what we miss when we sleep in? How many sunrises have we missed? How many things have people missed when they sleep in on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, or stay in? How much of the Word of God are they missing by being absent? You know, God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. God gives us the priority of life, does He not? Well, the disciples were absent. Now in Mark 16:9, we'll finish with this short verse. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom He had cast 7 devils. Now men, pay attention to whom Jesus met first. We're so high and mighty sometimes. We think we're big and brawny and masculine and big and all important. But the Lord appeared to Mary, a woman of faith, a woman who had received much from the Lord Jesus Christ, and she had given much to Him, and He appeared first. Well, we'll talk about that next week, the Lord willing, and continue this short series. Father, we are so thankful that Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has risen from the dead. Lord, if He hadn't been risen from the dead, there'd be no hope for us. But because we are in Him, our resurrection is assured, because He is the resurrection and the life. And if we believe in Him, we'll never, never die. So death has no victory over those that are in Christ. And Lord, we're to proclaim that knowledge, spread the news, the good news, that Christ, our Lord, is risen today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.